Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up to Mike and Mike in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, we only talk to the best and brightest minds. The guys who know their stuff, the guys that have their ear to the ground, and you become smarter just for listening to ESPN Rochester. Guys like Ryan Talbot.
Yeah, we haven't had Ryan on in a few weeks, and glad we were able to get him on today. Ryan, how's your summer going so far? And, camp right around the corner. We're less than a month away. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So, Ryan, with camp coming up, the Bills... Well, they're not taking a full complement at this point. Right now, 89 guys. You can bring 90. Is this kind of a precursor to a move, maybe?
You know, it could be. There's no rhyme or reason to the move. Maybe it was just simply the Bills weren't impressed with whoever that player was that they caught, their 90th player. It could be that they sent out feelers to a free agent that they offered, that there's a contract on the table for a player like a Gary Barnage. But we really don't know, but I wouldn't read too much into that. So it could simply be that they're interested in someone, they have an offer out there, or simply they just weren't impressed with whoever that 90th player was.
Ryan Talbot, Syracuse Post-Standard, joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, to talk some Buffalo Bills football. Ryan, we had Sal on with us yesterday talking about a piece that he put out on ESPNRochester.com. The Bills find themselves in a better cap situation now than they did at the start of the offseason, a lot because of what they haven't done, so much so that now with this flexibility, you can really start to question which one of these high-paid Bills will be on the roster in 2018? I'm talking specifically about Marcell Dareus. What are your expectations for him in the 2017 season, and is he playing for a future job on this roster?
He very well could be. I mean, we're talking again about another new coach and GM combination. They don't have any ties to Dareus whatsoever, so it could simply come down to how he plays this year. The Bills are paying him a lot of money, and you could definitely argue that he hasn't lived up to that contract. Sal had a great piece, though. The Bills are looking very healthy in terms of the cap space going forward. Over $30 million, it looks like, going into next year. So Dareus, though, I would definitely say is playing for his future in Buffalo this season. I think he will benefit, though, from the team's move to a 4-3 defense.
Yeah, and, with a healthy Kyle Williams next to him at this point last year. We didn't, while they were taking baby steps with Williams, certainly Dareus wasn't ready from the get-go. When you're looking at Marcell Dareus, Ryan, and is he going to be the player we expect him to be, you look at the new positional coach, Mike Waffle. To me, Mike Waffle is the most important coach on the staff beyond the coordinators because he's got to get through to Marcell Dareus. What do we know about Mike Waffle, who, by the way, is from Alfred? So this is a guy that's actually coming back to the area.
You know, if you don't know anything about Mike Waffle, my best advice would be to go out and look on YouTube at some of those clips from the Rams when they were on Hard Knocks. This is a guy that does not put up with any kind of behavior, attitude, anything like that. He'll let you hear about it right away if you're not working up to par. One of my favorite coaching signings of the offseason, in fact, because I think he can be that guy that lights a fire, not just under Dareus, but just that entire defensive line in terms of getting after the quarterback, but also staying disciplined, which is a problem that we've seen with Jerry Hughes at defensive end, who will be starting there. Maybe getting some motivation out of second-year player Shaq Lawson. Of the starting four, I think Kyle Williams is the one that needs it the least, but I think he could really do a lot of wonders with the rest of that defensive line.
Ryan Talbot joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. One of the other reasons why the Bills find themselves in a better cap situation right now in the offseason as opposed to the beginning of the offseason is the restructured Tyrod Taylor deal. which looks like a great deal for the club, Taylor taking a pay cut. But will this rattle Tyrod Taylor's confidence, the lack of a long-term deal, you know, moving forward? Is that something that Bills fans should be worried about in terms of how their quarterback plays in 2017?
You know, I wouldn't worry about that. I think if realistically, maybe Taylor and his agent went out there looking to see what would be out there on the market if he didn't restructure, and maybe that rattled him into taking the restructured deal, finding out that there wasn't as big of a market for him as there was. I think, if anything, he's going to benefit from staying with the Bills for another season. He knows the talent around him. He's been in this offense for one season during his time in Baltimore. Now, mind you, he wasn't on the field that season when Rick Dennison was there, but he knows the offense. So I think, if anything, he's going to come in with a lot of confidence this season. They lost the Robert Woods, but they replaced him with a Zay Jones. They still have LeSean McCoy. They still have, hopefully, a healthy Sammy Watkins heading into the season. So they do have some playmakers there that he can work with.
Ryan, we are now under a month to go. Training camp, not that I'm counting down the days or anything, but love camp out at Fisher. And one of the things I love, you know, if you love the show Hard Knocks, what do they focus on Hard Knocks? They don't focus on the veterans. They focus on the players that are trying to make the team. And to me, I'm one of those guys that I like knowing who are some guys that we're not familiar with right now, Ryan, as closely as you follow the team here as you do. Who are some names that we can latch onto that you'd say, hey, this is a street free agent. He's got a shot to make this team. Hey, this is a guy that's bounced around a little bit. He's got a chance to make this team. Who are some of those names we'll learn about coming up here in the month of July?
Well, you know, I'm going to focus on some of the undrafted free agents that the Bills signed after the draft. It's too hard to get excited about a punter, I know. That Austin Rakow, he intrigues me. He kicks, he punts. He can do a little bit of everything. I think he can really win that punter job this year and be kind of like a safety net in case something happens to Steve Hauschka during the season. The Bills have a ton of question marks after Charles Clay at tight end, and they brought in a Keith Tobridge and a Jason Kroom. Kroom, who actually played at one point with Nathan Peterman, I believe, at Tennessee. And then even safety. The Bills have a lot of question marks behind their starting two safeties. And maybe a Jeremy Tyler or a BT Sanders will surprise us. So there's a lot of guys that are in that undrafted pool. And I know a lot of Bills fans have asked me about Jordan Johnson. Maybe he has an outside shot at cracking the roster, the UB product. But I do think that he was going to have a harder time than some of those other guys that I mentioned.
Ryan Talbot joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. I'll go opposite of Gene. Let's talk about some of the veterans that could be fighting for their position with this Buffalo Bills roster. Any names come to mind, Ryan?
Fighting for a position? Yeah, I think Preston Brown is going to be in for quite a fight. You know, his contract's going to be up at the end of the season. Again, new coaching staff, no ties to him. Obviously no ties to Reggie Ragland either, but they might like Ragland better at that inside position. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Preston Brown. I'm interested to see what happens with some of these new free agents that they brought in. I think Andre Holmes is going to be given every opportunity possible to lock down that number two job at camp, number two, three, because I think Zay Jones obviously is going to be out of the slot more than anything else, although I consider him more of our number two receiver. But I'm interested in guys like that. But in terms of a guy that could lose his job, Preston Brown is the first player that comes to mind.
It is. You can read his work on NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan Talbot joining us here in the Sports Bar on 95.7 ESPN. The camp schedule came out, and we've been asking all our guests here, Ryan, with the one date that is going to be out at New Era Field. It's a Friday afternoon. I put the over-under on attendance for that one date at 15,000. Are you going over and under on that?
I'm going to go over on that. I think they're going to have a great turnout for that day at New Era Field. It's going to be close, though. But, yeah, I think they're going to have a great turnout.
Well, I guess the follow-up to that would be, if you have a great turnout of 15, 20,000 for one practice, that may hurt the overall attendance at Fisher, and especially that you have all these early practices. We're just paranoid up here, Ryan, but how do you feel about the future of the Buffalo Bills at St. John Fisher College?
I think the future is still at St. John Fisher College. I wouldn't be panicking too much just yet. I think that Rochester fan base is very important to Buffalo in terms of season ticket holders, in terms of fan support, merchandise sales, you name it. I think it would be very short-sighted if they did move out of there anytime soon. Now, if you want to change it up a little bit, maybe go out, take a week off that schedule and go back to New Era then, so be it. But I think leaving altogether would be a foolish mistake for the Bills.
You can read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan Talbot joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, one of the pieces Ryan writing about. The odds that Bills running back LeSean McCoy wins the NFL MVP right now at 100-1. Ryan, would you say that there's a better chance of LeSean McCoy besting his output from last season? Or would you say there's a better chance of LeSean McCoy falling flat this season in Buffalo?
I'm going to go with besting, just because we really don't know who's going to replace Mike Gillisley in terms of will they be able to produce the same type of numbers, which Gillisley was unbelievable last year. But if the Bills aren't getting that type of production, I could see McCoy getting more carries. Gillisley had 101 carries last year, so some of that workload could go to McCoy. And then I think in the passing game he's going to be more involved. He talked about that in May, that he's very excited that this is the type of offense where he's going to be getting more passes thrown his way as well. And I think the one thing we know about McCoy is when you have him out in open space, he's a very hard player to bring down. So you get him out there on screens, you get him out there with quick passes, and he can do a lot of damage. So if you're counting rushing and receiving, I think he can actually do better this year.
How is the offense going to be different as far as blocking schemes and everything else? Because you're coming off a season where you were the number one rushing team in the National Football League. So do you really want to change things up here in that regard if you're Rick Dennison?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to go to that zone blocking scheme. I think some of them have some familiarity with it, but it's just a staple of his offense. And then the passing game, obviously the West Coast offense, short, quick, accurate passes. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to let Tyrod Taylor throw deep at times, something he's shown a knack for doing. But I do think they're going to change it a little bit in terms of the blocking front in front of McCoy. But one benefit is they've upgraded significantly at fullback with Patrick DeMarco, and he's going to actually, I think, help open up a lot more for McCoy on the ground.
You can read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan Talbot joining us with the Bills Inside Scoop on ESPN Rochester. Ryan, does Cardale Jones make the final 53?
Right now I'm going to say no. He's a player to keep an eye on at training camp, but I think Yates knows the offense very well, and he's going to at least start the season as their number two. He's not a guy that I would say could win a lot of games for you if something happens to Tyrod Taylor, but he's important to have in that quarterback room in season. Pick his brain, ask him questions. And then obviously they like Nathan Peterman. They drafted the guy. He is a part of – he's tied to Sean McDermott at least. I know obviously Bean wasn't here when the draft took place, but at least there's ties there. Not common for a team to carry four quarterbacks. I don't know what kind of market would be out there for Cardale Jones if he was to hit the waiver wire. Maybe he goes through waivers and the Bills keep him on their practice squad. But right now I'm saying he is not going to make the 53-man roster.
I've got a little bit of breaking news here, and I'll get your guys' reaction here. As joining us here on the phone is Ryan Talbot on NewYorkUpstate.com, Gene Battaglia, Mike Danger. Carlos Williams, according to Field Yates, ESPN, he has been suspended for at least 1 year by the National Football League. So I guess we're going to learn more about this. Ryan, I'll start with you. Has there been a bigger waste of talent than Carlos Williams? Because, my gosh, I mean, here's a guy that led the Buffalo Bills in touchdowns 1 year, and then he hasn't been on the field by his own doing since that time.
Yeah, you know, at least in recent memory, I can't think of someone that's been more disappointing, at least for the Bills or for our local sports teams. You know, he had quite a combination of burst, size, and speed that we hadn't seen. He seemed like he could be a great compliment for years to come to LeSean McCoy, and then he just threw it all away. It's a very sad story that someone with so much talent can't follow the rules, I guess, of the National Football League.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I spent a lot of time on the soapbox talking about how running backs are kind of, you know, a dime a dozen, that they're very replaceable. And I think Carlos Williams is another example of, here's a guy who, you know, fit a role and did really well for a team 1 year. And I think you can find dozens of guys that can perform at that level that have a better head on their shoulders than a Carlos Williams, and which makes me question why any team would overpay for their running back.
That's definitely a fair argument to make, unless you have an elite running back, a top two or three guy who has proven it for a few years in a row. But you're right, because when Carlos Williams left, Mike Gillisley filled right in and really didn't miss a beat. And I think the Bills are very hopeful that Jonathan Williams does the same thing this year. I know he had a foot injury last year. They liked him. They took him on day three. But he was another guy that was pretty good at Arkansas before he suffered a foot injury. So it is a position that seems like you can kind of plug in guys pretty easily, unless you're talking about that elite level talent that we saw from a guy like LeSean McCoy, and it's very early in his career, but an Ezekiel Elliott. Now, mind you, they both have very good offensive lines, but those are the types of player that if you are going to pay, you want those upper echelon guys.
Again, Carlos Williams, suspended by the NFL for a year. Joining us here on the phone, Ryan Talbot. You can read his work, Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com. Talk more about Jonathan Williams here, because here's a guy that you mentioned the injury. Was he fully healthy, or was it an injury that, you know, sometimes you hear like something like an ACL, you need a full year to get back into it? Because we didn't see all that much from Williams, but then again, he was behind LeSean McCoy and Mike Gillisley last year.
He wasn't fully healthy. He's something with his foot still. He said he wasn't able to make cuts the way he wanted to on the field, so that limited him in terms of what he could do. So you're right, though. He didn't have much of a role last year. I think he had two fumbles in his limited amount of carries, so that's a storyline or something to focus on in training camp, see how he protects the football. But he wasn't 100% last year, so he is someone that this year is going to come in, be fully healthy, and I think he could be very important to the Bills in terms of their success on the field this year.
Ryan, we've spent some time talking to Jets insiders about what they're doing in New York, and it seems clear to us as outsiders that this is a team that is tanking. They're playing for the first overall pick in the 2018 draft. However, in talking to those Jets insiders, being as close to the product as they are, they can defend pretty much every move that the Jets have made. And I feel like we do that sometimes here in Buffalo, that we can be sometimes blinded by our homerism. All that being said, just by looking at what the Bills have done this offseason on paper, in putting themselves in a better cap situation, in getting rid of some of their higher-priced talent, letting them walk in free agency, I'm not saying the Bills are tanking, but could you make the argument that the Bills are tanking?
You know, Bleacher Report tried to make that argument.
That's exactly where this stems from, yes.
They have the Bills as one of those five players positioned. I don't think the Bills are tanking. I think that they saw the amount of money that Stephon Gilmore had and that they weren't comfortable paying him that much. And I think the same goes for Robert Woods. And mind you, it does kind of hurt to get rid of a cornerback and a wide receiver and then spend your first two draft picks on a cornerback and a wide receiver. That doesn't really help your team when you're getting rid of good players and just replacing them with rookies generally. But no, I wouldn't say the Bills are tanking. Now, if the Bills start out slow and they have a very tough schedule this year, but let's say they start out and they're 2-6, could they say, okay, Tyrod's in his last year of the deal. We really don't have to stick with this guy all season. It's not going to hurt his feelings. Well, it might hurt his feelings, but we don't have to keep him in the game. Could at midpoint of the season say we're going to kind of go into tank mode? We're going to put Nathan Peterman at quarterback, do what the rookie has to do. That's a scenario that I could see happening. But the Bills are going to, you're going to be talking midway point of the season or later where the Bills kind of shut down Tyrod Taylor. If they do that, then I'd say, okay, now they're looking ahead. They're seeing what they can get with their first-round draft pick, or maybe what can they do with their first and also put it together with the Chiefs pick that they've got, that they received in this year's draft.
Well, Ryan, what if the unthinkable happens and the Bills lose to the tanking New York Jets in week one?
Boy, I'm going to stay off Twitter if that happens, because I'm sure Bills fans are going to be pretty miserable if that occurs. But anything can happen in the NFL, and I realize that, but it's just one of those scenarios I can't see happening. You look at that quarterback situation. I just think on paper, the Bills should be able, that's a game they should be able to run away from.
Danger, I'm going to challenge you on this. What are they supposed to do? They lose to the Jets, and then all of a sudden, hey, you know, LeSean, you're going to be the backup.
I'm saying when you look at this roster this season versus last season's roster, and this is not a discredit to any of the changes that they've made. They got a new regime, a new head coach, a new GM. We feel positive, and we feel good about the direction that things are going. We haven't really heard anything this offseason that's made us scratch our head and go like, oh, that's a mistake. But on paper alone, roster to roster, I have a hard time finding anybody that's saying that this year's roster is more talented than last year's roster. So it's fair to say that this team is going to finish in worse shape record-wise this season than last season. You know, I'm curious as to how bad it could get and at what point do they say.
I'm saying that the Jets... Yes, they're coming up with a plan, but understand, everybody on that Jets team is going to come in here and it's football, and the coach wants to win, all right? And the Jets might win that game. After all, the Jets did beat the Bills twice last year, did they not? And the point spread, you would think the point spread, Ryan, is 10, 14. It's only 6. Vegas knows more than me and you. That looks like an easy bet. Oh, my goodness. Bills minus 6? Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, it's going to be closer than you think. It's week one. It's a divisional game. I wouldn't get I wouldn't get upset if the season is not over if they lose week one of the Jets. It'll be unpleasant. You want to, like Ryan, I would say you'd stay off of social media.
Yeah, I would definitely stay off of social media. In terms of the argument that the Bills roster is worse this year, I think that that's a valid argument comparing the two. But my only defense would be that I think that the defensive personnel is better fit for this 4-3 defense than the 3-4, and maybe they're going to step up. I think they're going to step up a lot more than last year's defensive unit did. And they, other than obviously Gilmore, who is a big loss, do not get me wrong there, everyone else was kind of replaceable on that defense, including Zach Brown, who led the team in tackles, but kind of disappeared late in the season.
You can read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com, and we always appreciate having Ryan Talbot in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia to share his Bills knowledge and expertise. Ryan, in just a few short weeks, we'll be hanging out at St. John Fisher. I'm looking forward to it, bud.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Ryan Talbot, the great Ryan Talbot, 29 days away, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Appreciate Ryan's time. Danger, I got a trivia question for you here.
All right.
Give me the team in the NFL last two seasons combined, so 2015-2016, regular season plus playoffs, that is the most takeaways, so the most ball-hawking defense in the National Football League, last 2 years combined, 2015-2016.
I think the chalk pick would be Denver, right?
Not correct. Do we want to give the answer here, or do we want to hold it over?
All right, think about that. We'll give that. We got NFL appetizers on the way. We'll serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form, and we'll give up the team with the most takeaways the last two seasons. That's what the question
is. Yeah, and there's a story behind this,
right,
obviously.
We'll get to that and more next. Stay in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.